Hello, everybody. Welcome back to People Issues Podcast. Once again, I'm Jackie Ball.
I'm Krista Scott.
And we're excited to have you join us for another episode, round three. Yes.
Fight.
Well, hopefully not fight. Discuss. Anyway, so we have been really enjoying getting this podcast going and starting. We're obviously still in the very beginning stages of all of this. But in releasing the first two episodes out into the world, we've gotten a little bit of feedback so far, which is truly exciting. Thank you all so much for caring enough to reach out and give us some thoughts and opinions. And on that note, I suppose I have to take a moment to make a clarification for the people out there. My wonderful father listened to our show and gave me a call about it. And he loved it. He really did love it. But there was a part of him that was a little upset that I did not recognize the fact that as a middle-aged, straight, white man from the South, he is a feminist. And he does care about all of the issues that we're talking about. And he pointed out to me that my husband is a white man who is a feminist. So basically, I just wanted to say, because I thought that it was clear, but I guess it obviously is not. Christy and I realized that there are straight, white, cisgendered men out there in the world that do agree with us. And
so we didn't touch on that now that we think about it.
Yeah.
Where we said a lot of different things, but we didn't explicitly say that white men can be feminists.
And allies.
And allies.
And care. And
yes. Yeah, so we're correcting that error and saying it now.
Yes.
We believed it before, but we did not make it known, so we have made it known.
Yes. We want everybody to know that we hear you. We see you, and all allies are appreciated. So, Dad, I see you. I love you. I know that you're a feminist. Woohoo!
Yay! Feminist fathers.
Anyway, I just wanted to clarify that. And also, I guess, some big news coming up. We will be having our first guest speaker, which is exciting. And we are going to have her on talking about, in her words, what it's like to be a plus size woman in America. And past that, just talking about beauty standards and what it's like as a woman or as a young girl developing into a woman and things of that nature. So if you have any thoughts at this moment, maybe some questions or stories that you want to go ahead and write in, that would be great.
That would be awesome. And we're also excited if you want to pitch something that you would like to talk about on our podcast. We would be super interested, and we may contact you and maybe have an episode built around you, like we're going to do for the person who, I guess they didn't call in, they typed in.
Yeah, we want to hear what y'all want to talk about as well, so this isn't just like a Chrissy Jackie fest.
I mean, we're awesome.
It's a great festival.
We have a lot of cool things going on at our festival. For me, it's just a lot of chocolate.
Which
actually segues us into our main topic.
Yes!
Menstruation.
Menstruation is what we're talking about today, everybody. Specifically, well, I don't know. For me specifically, the minimization of menstruation.
Yes. Which sounds like a really great rap song. And the fact that no one has marketed that is astounding to me.
The original Eminem.
Yes. That I would eat while singing that song.
Singing along to it.
Yes.
No, I'm going to be honest. When I first pitched the idea, I mean, not menstruation, that's not an idea I came up with. I will not take that mantle.
Jesus. Let's track up.
You know, so when I first was talking to Christy about the idea of doing the minimization of menstruation, I was super excited. Started thinking about what I wanted to talk about. And then in the back of my head, I started thinking like, oof, is that going to be off-putting? Oof, is that going to turn off our male listeners? Or are people going to think this is gross? Are people going to be turned off by this? And it bothered me that I was thinking this in the back of my head, because then the other part of me is like, Jackie, what are you talking about? That's the reason why we need to talk about this, because this shouldn't be off-putting, and it shouldn't be embarrassing, and it shouldn't be a gross subject. This is something that it's biology. This is something that women have to go through. This is a part of life. Are you born? Are you alive? Then menstruation was a part of your journey to get here, and like, we should be able to talk about it. So we're doing it, everybody.
Yep, we're having this convo. I see it as an opportunity to tell stories that are disgusting, that may or may not be edited out. So
that may or may not be edited out.
Yes. But I won't start with that. Let's start with the meaningful stuff, and then work our way up to...
Then we'll devolve?
We'll devolve from the meaningful
stuff. Okay, we'll start with meaningful stuff. First things first for me, I guess this kind of goes to the heart of the idea of people issues. When we talked about how women's issues are just people issues and we should be able to talk about all of them, and men should also care about women's issues too because they're people issues. So this is kind of at the heart of this podcast for me, in the sense that I think about sex education in middle school, and how there's that moment where you go to talk about all that stuff, the birds and the bees, and how they separate the boys and the girls, and the girls learn about bleeding and cycles and fertility and all that kind of stuff, and for some reason the boys don't. And like, I feel like I don't know why that is. Like, I wish that they were there for it, because it's another moment that makes you kind of feel like this is something that needs to be kept quiet, because we're not going to talk about it in front of the boys. And it plays into the discretion is key when it comes to our periods, and like tiptoeing around the idea of it. Even when they create new tampon or pad models, it's like the new quiet pack, so nobody knows you're opening it. Or, you know, like the teeny tiny tampon, so discreet, no one will ever see it. It's this whole thing that like evolves where it's like a period's supposed to be this big, huge secret, but everybody knows that it happens and that it exists.
Yeah, and you know why they made, how tampons are originally discovered or made? I guess not discovered, but made.
The reason why?
Yeah.
Nope, pray tell.
So bullet hole wounds, they would like stuff cotton into them, and that's what they started as, and then like, oh wait, women do this all the time, let's shove them up their vag.
Let's put this inside of the women, because they go through this all, but so because of war.
Because of war!
And how long before that were women having periods?
Yeah.
I do often think about if it were reversed, if it was a world where men had periods, to what level would this already be handled and taken care of better?
Yes, and to be inclusive here, so not all women menstruate and not all men don't have periods. I said that all in the negative. All men... Some men do.
Have periods.
Yes.
And some women do not menstruate.
Yes.
Yes. But that goes to show, this is just affecting everybody, even still, you know? Because women that... menstruation is all biology?
They're related, yes. Physiology.
The point is, it's science. It's health stuff. And so that's why we should talk about it more.
Yeah.
It's not just this weird thing.
Oh, yeah. It's not like we're... just like, what's the creepiest, grossest thing I could do with my body? And every woman makes the decision to just bleed.
Yeah. No, that's not what it is.
But it does have that kind of shame around it.
Oh, big time. Big time. Like, there, you know, the fact that Dylan buys, you know, tampons for me, it gives him a medal. You know, he gets a gold star. Good husband. Oh my gosh. Wow. But like, I mean, why do you need a gold star for that? You know, in our situation, we plan on having children one day. So, like, this period should matter to you.
Yeah, shows you're fertile.
This has something to do with you, too. And to play more into the idea of, like, the minimization of it, I mean, the fact that we're told to keep it quiet and to keep it small and to not talk about it. But what also bothers me is, like, the amount of pain that we're told to minimize.
Yes. And full disclosure, I'm having my female time right now, and so I'm having a first-hand account of this. Like yesterday morning, I woke up and it's like a train with daggers on its wheels just started rolling all over my abdomen and my back. Mm-hmm. I don't know how it makes this pain happen. Like, what's exactly going on? You know, you could say, oh, it's muscle contractions and like you're feeling the stuff tear off the walls. And it's just, it's like, I don't care what it is. Like, I just don't want to feel it anymore. And you could barely move. And then maybe 5 to 6 hours later, it's like, I'm okay. I mean, like, I'm not, I can walk now. Like, this is cool. Like, it's not as bad.
Yeah.
I just think of like this, how normalized something so in any other context would just be like, let's get her to the hospital.
You gotta go to the hospital now. You gotta go now. Hospital.
Like, you've just soaked through three cotton pads.
Like, of blood. Like, you're dying. You've lost a liter of blood. Oh, my God.
Okay, not a liter. Like, that's, like, an exaggeration.
Well, but that if that amount of blood was coming out of my arm...
Oh, yeah.
You might be thinking... I mean, yeah, obviously not a liter. But that's how you would feel. It'd be that crazy. I always got a good Subway story. I was on the Subway once, and I was dealing with... because, newsflash, cramps don't always just come with your period. Sometimes you have them during ovulation as well, and like when you're fertile. And so I would get really bad ovulation cramps, and I was in the Subway one day and it was bad, like almost seeing like black spots, bad amount of pain, and I was doubled over sitting on the Subway trying to just breathe through. And this woman touches my arm and she's like, sweetheart, are you okay? Like, do you need anything? And I look over at her and I'm like, I'm fine. It's just, it's ovulation. I'm having a really hard one right now. And she's like, oh yeah. Oh, sorry about that, hun. Well, you know, good luck with that. And then just went back to what she was doing. And she cared. She really cared. But women, we just expect that amount of pain to be doubled over and having people concerned for your well-being, that amount of pain is normal.
Yeah, I mean, and the one thing, I guess the one difference that I'm just now realizing is if you're, say you're having like an appendicitis episode and you're, you know, it's about to explode and you're gonna die.
Yeah.
Like there is that urgency to it. And so if she doesn't say something and you're actually going, it's something that like that, then it does matter that it's not the period because a period is expected. Mm-hmm. Right? So there is this kind of odd thing where it's pain almost as bad or as bad as some articles say as a heart attack that you expect. And so it's hard to explain. Of just like, it's like if as a man someone to say like, okay, it's going to be like someone smashing your hand to bits every single month for 6 days. It's just going to feel like that. But no one is going to care because no matter what they do, it's going to happen again. I mean, unless you take some kind of magic pill that makes it so your hand doesn't throb and you no longer feel like a man.
Yeah. Like, exactly. You feel like less of yourself.
Yeah. And if for those of you who are not onto my mixed ridiculous metaphors, I'm talking about the, like, you can take hormonal pills that make you not menstruate. So you could say, oh, you can control it that way. But... I mean, I've been on birth control and all that, and I just feel so different. It's just such a different feeling.
Yeah.
And I think it's a great thing to do and have, not dissing birth control at all. But for me, that's, like, not something that I particularly enjoy being on.
That's a personal choice, obviously, with everybody. But at the end of the day, when you do take birth control, it's there are chemicals in there that mess with your hormone levels. That's the supposed to be the good thing about them. That's supposed to be what is helping you. But if you're changing the levels of your hormones, you are changing the way that you are and the way that you kind of behave and feel. And that might take away some of the racing heart or the anxiety that can kind of come with menstruation, but it can also pull off other edges of...
Yeah, it's hard because this will probably be too much info for everyone, but this was like last year. I had cramps so bad. I got out of bed and I like crawled to the bathroom and I was almost vomiting. There was lots of number two and I couldn't make it back to my room. And it was just like, I had to tell my landlady, I was just like, don't go in, like, I have to clean absolutely everything up. And I laid on that, like, the floor for, like, 10 to 15 minutes, and I finally was like, you know what, I'm going to go on birth control. Like, I can't stand this. I can't do this. Like, this is just too much. So I immediately, like, contacted my OBGYN, and I'm like, I have to go on birth control. Like, I can't do this another month. Like, yeah. I can't do this. And then, I went online, and I was doing my laundry later, and I was looking through the kind of birth control that my doctor had called in for me, and I was looking at all these side effects, and there was, like, 20% of the women were like, this is amazing, the best thing ever. And 80% were from, like this made me feel a little bit horrible to, I, like, am, like, this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me in my body. And there was, it was not, I mean, I, it was, so I ended up thinking of different ways I could change, what I ate before bed, like, waking up gradually. Sometimes, like, if I wake up quickly while I'm on my period, it makes me want to pass out. So I kind of integrated all that stuff and then didn't go on the birth control, because after reading all that, I was just like, this is so much, like, this is a lot. And I actually, but yeah, I mean, it's just a choice. It's like, do I want to be laid out on the floor and not be able to, like, get into work on time, or do I want to take all these hormones that could potentially, like, make me gain weight, you know, change my mood, like, all of these things.
Yeah.
It's a hard choice.
And it's tough because, you know, what you're just saying at the tail end there, it's like, I'm in debilitating pain, but the world doesn't stop when my period comes.
No.
I still have to go to work. I still have to go to school. I still have to meet all of my daily life activities requirements, because me saying, oh, my period isn't a reason to call out sick, because it's like, oh, what? So what, every month you're going to miss work because of this?
Like,
and then, what do you want me to do?
It's like, yeah, I love feeling like this, and I love, like, calling out at work. It's like, no, I want to be productive. I want to have my life.
Mm-hmm.
I'd much rather be working at my desk than on the bathroom floor.
Uh-huh.
I mean, just, you know, 100% of the time I'm going to pick being at work.
Yeah.
So that's, yeah.
Yeah, this is maybe a little bit of a tangent, and I probably shouldn't even bring it up because we'll probably edit it out because I don't have facts on this.
But I love tangents. So continue.
You love a good tangent. Yeah. I just think about women and heart attacks and how the symptoms are different for women, and how we tend to not realize that we're going.
Yes, I saw this and I shared it on Facebook.
It just makes me wonder, since there's a certain amount of pain since adolescence that we have become accustomed to dealing with. You know, most girls start their periods around 12, 13. I'm, you know,
my
12th most girls.
Birthday here.
Oh, yeah. Mazel. most girls are 12 or 13, and it's different for every person, obviously, but it can be very painful. And so from the time that you're 12, every month you're used to dealing with a certain amount of pain. So I wonder if there is a correlation with that, where we don't realize we're having these heart attacks because we are used to dealing with such a high level of pain on such a regular basis that our way of identifying pain is just a little bit off.
Well, yeah, and women's symptoms are different.
Yeah.
They're slightly different. Like, what I was reading, it's more in the back, or, like, headache, like, neck pain. Like, women experience heart attacks different. Put that on top of us having a high pain tolerance, it's probably very hard for us, like,
to identify.
I'm not having the male,
the tightening of the arm,
right.
The lose shortness of the breath, because it doesn't affect, yeah, because it's different. Well, it's true. And then it's like, I was also talking earlier about how my issues with my cramps were really less of a PMS thing, and it was more of during ovulation. That's another thing that's tough for us, because, like, some people that don't experience menstruation, they think that, okay, so you have PMS, so, like, what, you, like, cramp while you're on your period and that's it. There are some people who have PMDD, which means that up to 2 weeks before their period starts and 2 weeks after their period, that's when they experience a lot of the hormone changes. That's whenever their breasts can swell up 1 to 2 full cup sizes. That's when they're experiencing headaches and sweats and back pains. And so it's not necessarily like at one time of the month this is happening. So you might have these weird things happening and you could be like, oh, I wonder if it's because I'm fertile right now. I wonder if it's because I'm ovulating right now. I wonder, and you put it to that. And as women, we just deal with it. We just deal with it because this is just what happens. It's a little bit different, but it's like whenever a woman gives birth and you have women who are giving birth for the first time, people tell them, oh, women have been doing this for centuries. But this woman hasn't. You know, I haven't given birth to a baby yet, and I do plan on having children. And people ask me what the holdup is, and I'm like, I have to grow a life in my body and then push it out of me. That is super terrifying and scary. So terrifying and scary, I forgot what I was just talking about. What was I just talking about?
Pain.
Oh, that's what it is. And so people ask you what the holdup is. And, you know, why are you so scared? You don't need to be scared. Women have been doing this for thousands of years. So we kind of minimize it and make it seem like, what's the big deal? Like, you're going to be fine. But I myself have never given birth, so it's still a terrifying, painful thing for me, just this one woman. And we kind of look at periods the same way. Since every woman has one, not every woman, but, you know, overall speaking, it's just a thing that happens. It's something you go through. It's a fact of life. And so we kind of feel like we're supposed to just deal with it. And as bad as it is as bad as it's supposed to be, so we shouldn't complain about it. And then you get into the whole stigma around the hormones. And, you know, if a woman's feeling hormonal, like, oh, we don't bring it up. Or as a woman, you don't want to say, I'm feeling hormonal, because you don't want to seem, quote unquote, weak. And you don't want people to think that you can't, quote unquote, control your emotions. And so you want to act like it's not your hormones, which is why you're irritable. But it's your hormones, and that's why you're irritable, and that's okay. And to, like, take that stigma away from it, does that make sense?
Yeah, yeah.
Am I making sense?
I think so. And men also have their ups and downs and all of that. I think it's because there is such an obvious effect to the female body that we talk about it more, but, I mean, I don't know tons about men and how their hormonal cycles work.
Me either. And I was talking to Dylan. That's my husband, in case anybody doesn't know if I say Dylan. I was talking to Dylan, my husband, and I was telling him that we were going to talk about menstruation, going back to how they separate the girls and the boys. For just the reasons why the boys need to understand what the girls are going through, I would like to know what the guys are going through, because we're having this conversation right now, and, like, honestly, still, I can't really exactly tell you what all the effects are, besides the fact that they, like, want to start touching themselves and eventually are able to ejaculate or...
And they get boners randomly.
Yeah, they can't stop them, and it's really embarrassing, or the voice creaks, or the acne, but I don't really know about it, because we don't really talk about it, like, on both ends.
So, yeah, so then maybe we don't know, we don't equate being super emotional with being male, and because we don't know any of the stuff about their hormonal
life. And that's the thing that we have to realize as well, is because, like, with girls, we're getting... surges in estrogen. So when boys are going through puberty, those changes are happening because they're starting to develop more testosterone. And we know that testosterone does affect your moods. That's why people that take steroids have, you know, like roid rage, all that kind of stuff that goes along with it, because it's heightened levels that aren't regular. And so for a boy going through puberty, his testosterone levels are heightened to a level that he's not accustomed to or used to. So that's going to affect his emotions.
Yeah.
And how he washes down stuff. But maybe I'd know more about it if we all got to sit together in sixth grade and talk. You know, like, if we all got to chat about it. I just wish that it could, something that could just be more open. There's, you know, a lot of men are embarrassed to even see that stuff, and we don't know anything about it from the guy's perspective, and...
We should have a guy on and just talk about menstruation. They'd love it.
They would. Dylan would actually be great.
Or not, I mean, I guess not in menstruation, but, like, men's cycles.
I don't know.
Do men know about cycles of their own?
I do. Well, you know, and Dylan and I joke that, you know, he's on his period with me, because sometimes he feels a little, quote unquote, emotional, or a little more sensitive, or he's a little more irritable. I have no idea. But this is why we're here chatting, because I want to learn. I want to know new things.
I want to see some papers or chat with someone who knows about male cycles.
Yeah. So, putting that out there. If anybody knows, holla.
Any male hormonal cycle experts out there, we'd love to chat with you.
Love to chat with you. Yeah. I guess the only other thing that I really have to get up on a soapbox about while we're talking about the minimization of menstruation is how I need feminine products sanitary napkins, tampons. I need them available in every public restroom for free, period. That's something that really bothers me. I always say, you know, everybody has to use the restroom. We all urinate. We all defecate. We don't decide that that's how waste gets out of us. That's just the way that it happens. Women don't decide to have periods. Every woman right now, there is at least one, probably way more, but at least one woman who is menstruating, who is going through that. And I think if you are a public space that offers a public toilet, and if it's the common sense to offer toilet paper, then it should be the common sense to offer feminine products to women.
Yeah, as well. And in other countries, there are girls who can't go to school because they're menstruating and they can't do anything. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they're seen as impure at that time, or they can't like stem the bleeding, and so it's all that stuff. Yeah.
But so that was just one other thing that I had to get out there, because I really think that is so important. I think that needs to be out there. And there's, if you want to, it's a longer discussion, but if you go into economic inequality and how, you know, it just really isn't. Yeah. But so I think there should be that. Just like there should be baby changing tables in men's restrooms.
Yes.
Because dads change diapers too. Yes. This is another caveat side note. All right. Well, is there anything else you wanted to add in? We talked about how we minimize the pain, how we minimize the hormone levels, how we minimize the mood swings. That's it. Yeah, let's just close it out.
Okay. Well, it's been a great episode talking to you about our personal hoo-ha issues.
Yeah. Just thank you for joining us for the menstruation episode. You know, two feminists talking. You knew that it had to happen at some point. I feel like we really kind of only lightly touched on all of the things, honestly. So get ready, because it might come back again.
Yeah, if you guys have things you want to say, men, women.
Yeah, if there's one point in there that, you know, we didn't really
touch on a lot,
we kind of just maybe passed over it, and you want to get into that a little bit more, the idea of having feminine hygiene products available in public, some thoughts on the pain that we go through. If, you know, you wanted to talk about that a little bit more, please.
Horror stories.
Yeah, or a way that we can maybe bring some awareness to women, because we're sitting here talking about how we've been in this double over pain and we've done nothing to help ourselves, and ovarian cancer and other, this is something we should be worried about. We need to promote.
I've just become worried about that now.
All right, everybody. Well, thank you all so very much for listening to us today. It was another wonderful conversation. We want to get you in on it so you can be on one of our future episodes. So please email us at peopleissuespodcast@gmail.com. Check out the website, peopleissuepodcast.com. Go to the Instagram page, people_issues_podcast. And of course, the Twitter at peopleissuespod. You can find us in all those places. So please, any one of those places, you can leave us a comment, write us an email, get on a soapbox, hit us up.
We'll make the twit happen.
Well, Christy's going to try to make the twit happen.
Oh.
You can take up that mantle. All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much, and you have a wonderful day.
You too.
Bye.